TOMA. T-O-M-A. What's your TOMA? Did you know it's worth billions? Hi, this is Ken Boyce, Marketing Director with the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and co-host of the radio show, The Life You've Always Wanted, heard here each Monday morning at 10 a.m. What's your TOMA? Let's find out. Who's the richest man in the world? What's the number one soda company? Who can save a marriage, lift depression, mend broken heart, or heal emotional wounds? The answer to all these is TOMA. You see, TOMA said Bill Gates, TOMA said Coca-Cola, and TOMA now says the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. How do I contact them? TOMA says 882-6767. How do I find out more? TOMA again says, check out springfieldmfi.com. When the question is asked, it's TOMA that answers. What is TOMA? It's simply what comes to the top of the mind first when a question's asked. That's top of mind awareness, and it's priceless.
A good Monday morning. It's time now for It's Your Life You've Always Wanted. It's a life you've always wanted. I had the words transposed there.
It works.
It's a life you've always wanted. It means about the same. Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And here are your hosts. Good morning to you, WK and Ken Boyce.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
It is good to be back with you this morning. And this morning we're talking about avoiding conflict. Actually, we're talking about not avoiding conflict. And to understand how avoiding conflict really raises the possibility of conflict in our relationships. Our marriage relationships, our friendships, our family relationships, the more we try to avoid it, the more we actually have. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. If you want to give us a call this morning, call us here in Springfield at 862-9977. Outside of Springfield is 1-800-375-0056. And if you're on your cell phone, it's star 56.
Also this morning, if you're listening out there, getting ready to go into your office, you're in the car right now and you're heading into the office, you want to listen to us online. You can go to Springfield MFI for Marriage and Family Institute. Go to springfieldmfi.com. There's a radio link. Click on that, and streaming audio will go directly to your computer. So go from the car right into the office and continue to pick up the show. Also, while you're there, check out the site. You never know. We always seem to come across people that need help. Marriages, families, teenagers are driving them crazy. You never know how you're going to have a chance to help someone. That way you can.
Now, having that link in mind, Springfield MFI and the phone number in mind are really good resources for you to have, because you know what? All of us know people who need help. All of us do. And it's important to know that even though I may not have the answer right now, I have a resource that I can pull up and that I can refer people to.
If someone I know has a toothache, I'm not a dentist.
Right.
But, you know, I've got a really good dentist. Now, this is kind of a free plug here for Dr. Lee, but if you need a good dentist, Dr. James Lee is a really good dentist.
He is really good.
Point is, I'm not a dentist. Someone has a toothache, I can refer them. If someone has trouble with their car, you know, I've got one or two good mechanics that I really trust. They know exactly what they're doing. They're honest, open with you, and they take care of you, and they take care of everyone I've ever referred. We have people that we come into contact all the time that we don't know how to help. And it's because marriage isn't going right. Kids are driving them crazy. Just depression, life in general, things happen.
Yeah.
And you know, if I had a toothache, I go to the dentist. If my car is broken down, I go to a mechanic. And, you know, if I want my family life to be better and to be able to help someone else with theirs, refer them on. Give the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute a call at 882-6767 or look us up. Find out who we are, springfieldmfi.com.
You know, a lot of people brag about the fact that they never have any fights. They never quarrel. They never have any arguments at all in their marriage or in their friendships, or they never saw their parents argue growing up. And I kind of wonder about that, because all of us have different opinions and different values and different principles that we live by. And I know people who in counseling sessions or who call us up and say, you know, I never saw my parents fight. I never saw them quarrel. I never saw them have an argument whatsoever. And my question to them is, how in the world did they ever resolve anything? If you don't have an occasional discussions or differences, I'm not saying knock down, drag out fights. I'm not talking
heated disagreements.
About heated disagreements, yes. If you don't have those occasionally, then you probably don't have two people in the relationship. It takes two people to have an active, growing, healthy relationship. And if one person is always getting their way, their opinions are always the one that counts or that matters or that's of any value, they always make the decisions, then how many people are in the relationship? I really question that, how healthy a relationship can be if both people aren't present and active in the relationship. I said last week, and I think I misspoke myself, I'm going to say it again correctly this week, that if I am being me and you are being you, then I am here and you are here and we could be here together. But if I'm being who I think you want me to be, or you're being who you think I want you to be, then I am not here, you're not here, and no one can be here together. Now, that's a paraphrase of Artie Lang's statement, but it's so true. It is so true. Many couples come to counseling not because they're fighting too much, but because they're not quarreling, they're not arguing, they're not having heated discussions enough. And then the romance leaves the marriage. Boredom sits in because sex can only last so long. Well, the magic and the beauty of sex diminishes when there's no communication, active communication between the couples. This morning I'm going to talk about a philosophy of freedom. It's a philosophy of freedom that will set you free in your relationships. It will help strengthen every relationship you're in that we're talking about this morning. It's really a philosophy of assertiveness, but it's a philosophy of freedom. It's going to set you free to be who you are in this marriage or in this family relationship or in this friendship. And so if you have a pen and paper, if you'd like to get a copy of this, just give us a call. I'd be glad to send it to you. We can email it to you if that's what you'd like. But it's a philosophy of freedom. And there's several points here we're going to go over this morning. Hopefully these will make a difference in your relationships. These are things I want to tell you that I pull out and use in my counseling. You know, a lot of people behave non-assertively. Let me put it that way. Because they think they have no rights. Or they mistake assertion or being assertive for aggressiveness. Or they never learn the skills for being assertive. That is, simply making requests or saying no or asking others for a change in behavior or giving and receiving compliments or telling others how they care. Or they do not know how to communicate their wants and the needs to others, and they assume that others should just know these. Or they were socialized to always be compliant, accepting, accommodating, non-demanding, and selfless. And a lot of people who grew up being taught that you can't have an opinion, you can't express a definitive idea or some type of principle because that is being selfish, and they mistake that for being selfless, and that's a wrong idea.
And what you're talking about is no more than just looking at one's physical body. If we look at one's physical body, we have space, we take up, you know, physical length, width, height.
Some more than others. Some more.
But if someone were to come up to us with either a knife or a needle and want to stick it through our skin, do we have the right to stand up for ourselves and say, no, you're not going to do that?
Sure, we have the right to do
you're
that.
You're penetrating my boundary. That this skin here, this thing that's holding all the yucky stuff in, this is part of me. This is, you don't have the right to hurt me.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of people have been taught, though, is that for them to be loving, for them to be kind, they don't have the right to say, no, you're not going to stick me with that. A lot of people believe that and are paralyzed by that belief.
Absolutely. As we look at the life you've always wanted, we look back and we are going to look back with regret, or we're going to look back on things that we enjoyed through life. We're going to look back and either wonder where we went, or to enjoy being in the presence of others. We have to be who we are. We have to be able to stand up and have self-respect, a certain self-assertiveness, to be able to be in the presence of others and to be able to interact with others.
And that's exactly right. The three greatest needs that God made us with. The first is to be understood for who we are. Not for who people think we are, who they want us to be, but to be understood truly for who we are, how we're made, how we're put together, how we're wired. Second of all, is to be accepted unconditionally, not on the basis of how well we perform or do anything, but that we are here, and we're here in the presence of other people, and that we're to be accepted for who we are. Number three is to be valued more than the whole world. Valued more than the whole world by one other significant person in our life. And it's not based on, again, who they want us to be or how well we're doing, but to be valued because we are here. We are in this family. We're in this marriage. We're in this relationship, in this friendship, and we are valuable. Those three greatest needs, I'm going to tell you something, is our responsibility to have met. People who complain that nobody knows me, nobody respects me, like Rodney Dangerfield, I get no respect, okay?
No respect, no respect at all.
Hey, they're very good. People who are always complaining about not getting any respect, not being known, not feeling like they're worth anything, I'm going to tell you something. If you're one of those people, then you need to listen to what we're saying this morning. Because it is your responsibility to make yourself known in the presence of other people. Nobody can do that for you. If you're allowing other people to define you or to put boundaries and limitations upon you that are not truly yours, then only you can change that. Only you can change that. This is a go first principle. Only you can change your life to be understood, to be accepted, to be valued, to receive the respect that you really deserve. It's up to each individual. You have to speak up and to speak out, because a definition of intimacy, one definition of intimacy that I really like, is being ourself in the presence of the other. Both of us, each of us, being ourselves in the presence of each other and finding that understanding and acceptance and valuing. You see, that's what's not in many marriages. That's what's not in many families or friendships. No, the consequences of avoiding conflict is that we do that to often appease other people. But the consequence of that is we lose self-esteem, that sense of self-worth. When we grow a developing sense of anger and hurt, and it can lead to all kinds of physical problems, ulcers, headaches, backaches, and depression, and a lot of other symptoms. Okay? And so this morning, to be set free, you must learn to act assertively.
Can you go over the physical things again?
The consequences?
Yeah.
Sure. Consequences of not acting assertively is to develop headaches, ulcers, backaches, have depression, or a lot of other symptoms as well.
So it can get down to us to a point of making us physically ill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone once said that depression is anger turned inward. And that is so true in many, many cases, people, because they're not acting assertively. They're not themselves in the presence of other people. And they're angry. They feel angry toward other people, but there's even a core anger at themselves because they have a bad case of the shoulds or should-haves. Have you ever found yourself in a situation, for instance, that has been very stressful for you and you found yourself tongue-tied and you don't know how to say what you really want to say and how you really feel and what you really think about things or what you really believe, and then you get out of that situation and you can think then of everything you should have said and how you should have said it, you know? And then we're angry at ourselves and regret that we did not stand up and to speak out. Well, what we're saying this morning is that's exactly what we have to do.
I know people that have had those same symptoms, but honestly couldn't tell me why they felt so bad. It was a matter of going and getting another pain pill or getting something else to try to take care of the symptom so that you just don't feel the pain of the symptom.
Yeah. Yeah, people are always searching for medications, and they want that instant fix to make them feel better. And when it wears off, they still feel just as bad as they did.
How many people out here know of someone that fits the description perfectly? That's always sick, that's always headache, always back, always doubling over in pain just from the stomach.
I think most of us know people like that. Most of us know people who are always complaining, or people who are always sick with these symptoms that we've talked about. I'm not saying that this is the end-all and be-all of these symptoms. But what I am saying is that many of our illnesses, physical illnesses, many of our emotional distresses, many of our mental distresses are brought about by us.
They have physical ramifications.
Absolutely. Because God made us to be present. In the Christian value system, we're created in God's image. And I want you to think about this concept. The name of God is, Yahweh literally means, I am being who I am being. I am that I am. So we are human beings. And to be a human being today, I've got to be here present today. In this situation, in this relationship, and I've got to be known for who I am being today. And when that is shut off, when that is stymied, we have a sense of being invisible. We have a sense of frustration and resentment and anger builds up. And many of us do not understand why. But that is exactly why. Because we're not being ourselves at this moment. Now, if you know somebody that we're describing, I want you to call them right now. Just call them and say, I want you to tune into the station and listen to this. Because these men are going to describe how you can feel better, how you can act better, how you can think better, how you can live your life better than ever before. You can have the life that you always want, that you've always wanted, by listening to the philosophy of freedom that we're talking about today.
Because what we're saying here, this has to do with me, it has to do with you, it has to do with everyone. This is getting permission to be who we are, to be able to stand up for what our lives are, to be able to have the intimacy, to be able to improve our relationship with our spouse, to be able to improve our relationship with our kids, improve our relationship with people that we meet every day.
Absolutely. Improve our relationship with everyone, across the board, with everyone that we come into contact with. The greatest purpose of our life is to define ourselves every day, to express ourselves every day, in appropriate ways, naturally, in ways that are healthy, naturally. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about being obnoxious, not talking about being self-centered and egotistical. We're not talking about any of those things. We're talking about being who we are, having our thoughts. A man said, I think it's John Bradshaw said one time, he said, if I think what I think, but I can't say what I think, I feel crazy. If I feel what I feel, but I can't say what I feel crazy. If I know what I know, but I can't say what I know, I feel crazy. And that's true with everyone. I mean, that hits all of us. And so we have to speak up and we have to speak out. One of the principles of the philosophy of freedom is that each person, and we must say to ourselves, I'm entitled to truth, dignity, respect, and courtesy, as is every other human being. I am entitled to that. Now, regardless of how you were raised, regardless of what you were led to believe about yourself, regardless of the games and the power and control games that people are having in your life right now, I want to tell you something. You're entitled to the truth, to dignity, to respect and courtesy as a human being.
And when we're talking about being assertive, this is getting out from underneath the thumb and the weight of someone else.
Absolutely.
This is being able to stand up for oneself, not physically abuse or mentally abuse someone else. It's respecting your boundaries and respecting theirs and making sure that those boundaries are established. Being able to stand up for oneself, to be able to get the weight of the world off your shoulders, to get rid of this feeling of, I am trapped, I am being crushed, there's no hope, every day I wake up, and I'm a little further down, and nothing helps. This is the first step.
To believe that each of us are entitled to the truth, respect, dignity, and courtesy as a human being is an awakening. It's an awakening that we have to step up and say, I've been under the thumb of a bully for too long. People have bullied me in my life, all of my life, and it stops here, it stops today. Because I am worth loving. I am worth being known. My thoughts are valuable. My feelings have substance, and they're just as real as anyone else's. I'm going to stop being bullied today because I want to be a part of the truth and receive the dignity, respect, and courtesy as every other human being.
As we're getting ready to go into our break, if what you're hearing, you're out there screaming, yes, this, I finally, someone's saying it, that's what I believe. I've known that. I knew that was the truth. I knew I could do it. If you need to hear this again, if you want to go back, go to springfieldmfi.com. And this show will be archived there. On the website, every show that we do, you go to the radio archive link, and each week you can select and listen to it. It comes streaming right through. Keep that in mind. So when you're out there and you're, you know, oh, I missed that part, or, oh, I want to go back and hear that, go over to springfieldmfi.com and click on the radio archive and select whichever one you want. It's a great resource for you. As we're getting ready also to go, if you have calls and comments, you have questions, give us a call in the studio at 862-9977. Or if you're outside, if you're listening on the internet, we've got people listening now in Texas, New York, Oregon. Apparently, over the weekend, we had someone from Sweden check out our site. So that's...
Yeah, it's been Great Britain, India. They've checked out our website, too. So,
if you're out there listening on streaming audio, you want to give us a call, give us a call at 1-800-375-0056. We'll be back.
TOMA. T-O-M-A. Did you know you have one? This is Ken Boyce, Marketing Director for the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and co-host of the radio show The Life You've Always Wanted, heard here each Monday morning at 10 a.m. What's your TOMA? Let's test it. Don't worry, here are the answers. Bill Gates, Coca-Cola, and the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Test: who's the world's richest man? What's the number one soda company? Who can save a marriage, even lift depression? Congratulations, you remembered. That's TOMA, Top of Mind Awareness.
We welcome you back now to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, WKN, Ken Boyce.
Welcome back. We've been talking about avoiding conflict, how avoiding conflict actually produces more conflict in relationships. I want to tell you something that may startle you, especially those of us who are married, and that is one of the major reasons for affairs in marriage is avoiding conflict in the marriage.
Can you expound on that one?
Sure. Sure. It takes two people to be in the relationship. The greatest needs we have are to be understood, accepted, and valued. As those needs are being met by one another in the marriage, seeking and really knowing one another, intimacy is nurtured and it's developed and it goes deeper and deeper. That when we avoid conflict, when we avoid speaking up and saying what we really think and how we really feel, what we really need, what our wants and desires are, what our dreams are about, then the marriage dies. The relationship suffers. And someone goes outside the marriage relationship seeking that, I want you to hear this, not sexual intimacy, but emotional intimacy. It goes into a sexual relationship, but most affairs are not about sex. Most affairs are about seeking emotional intimacy. Again, being known, finding someone who will know them at deeper and deeper levels. And I tell couples this in counseling who come and one or sometimes both have been unfaithful to each other. And when I listen to them, we discuss their pattern of communication and what they know about each other. And I tell them that they're equally responsible for the affair. If one or the other has been sexually unfaithful, they both have been emotionally unfaithful to each other, unavailable to one another. And so avoiding conflict is no way of building a relationship. Avoiding conflict simply destroys the relationship. And we'll talk about that more in just a minute. Again, the principle that I mentioned a moment ago was that each of us are entitled to truth, dignity, respect, and courtesy as a human being. The second principle is that freedom requires that you stand up for the principles of your life. And what are the principles of your life? What is it that are uncompromisable? You just refuse to compromise these principles that you have based your life upon.
If we can slow down for just a second right there, that's a really important part of this puzzle. Because if I have been beat down to that point, and every day I've been, quote-unquote, more submissive to someone else or surrendering to someone else to be put down on a regular basis, not only have I lost the ability to stand up for myself, in some cases I've lost who I was.
Well, absolutely. I agree.
This gets back to finding out who we are and to start from the inside building up and standing up for oneself so that when we go to interact with someone else, we know who we are, we know how to be able to bring that out in a very positive way. But that we can actually get lost inside ourselves, and just the world seems like it's got us in a box, and it's getting smaller.
That's exactly how it feels. You know, we have to come to understand what it is that we think. What do I really think about something? How do I really feel about it? How do I really see my position in this relationship? What do I really want in this relationship? What am I willing to do in this relationship? And we have to come to terms with that, and that's speaking the truth to ourselves. Now, the way God made us, it's not just enough to know the truth. We've got to tell the truth, even about ourselves. And we've got to come to terms with that. We each, regardless of what we think about it, we do have our own thoughts and our own feelings about things.
This is funny because in a lot of ways, this reminds me of life. We always stereotype guys. Guys never ask for directions. We get lost. We don't stop and ask for directions. Over 90% of the calls we get at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, the initial calls are from the women. Mm-hmm. Now, women, this is important. You're not alone. And guys, we're not going to do it necessarily. You may tell us, you know, can we go to counseling? There's just something, and the guy doesn't quite understand what you're talking about. He doesn't see any need for counseling, doesn't understand what you're saying.
Doesn't even realize there's a problem many times.
Exactly. But the women do. And women, it's okay. 90% of what we get on our first calls are women calling in going, can I get some help? Can I get some direction? How do I do this? How do I talk to my husband about this? How do I talk to my kids about this? Mm-hmm. Women are very powerful in the world. What they do and how they interact with people and the positions they hold in life are not weak positions. And what they do when they call in the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, the amount of power that they have and the empowerment there and the difference they make in their lives and the lives of their husbands and the lives of their children is absolutely incredible. So guys, if she's saying, you know, can we go talk to someone about this? Absolutely. Take her up on it. Go sit and have a chat, grab a cup of coffee, sit in a nice comfortable leather couch, relax, and let her talk. There are so many times when we do get the guy's call, he's calling in a panic because for the last 12 to 18 months, she's been getting further away, not really talking much, has talked about counseling. He didn't see any need for it. And she serves him with divorce papers. That's when the guy calls in a panic. Because now he really doesn't understand why he got the papers. Guys, I'm just giving you a hint here. If she's sitting there saying, maybe we need to go talk to someone, take her up on it. Take the lead. Women, if you're sitting there and you're hearing this, you're not alone. Women have an amazing ability to search out, look for direction, and to build a better way. That's incredible. And that's getting into our third point here. By not standing up for my principles, I encourage the other person to continue treating me the way I've been by reinforcing that behavior. That kind of brings up the whole thought of, if I do the same thing over and over and over and expect the results to somehow change, if I'm going to continue to not stand up for myself, I'm never going to get the respect. I'm never going to make a difference. Nothing's ever going to change if I keep doing the same thing over and over and over. I'll simply go crazy. We have to be able to stand up to find out who we are and to stand up and set those boundaries back and to put things back into balance. And it's amazing when you put things back into balance how much you can support all the way around.
Absolutely. I'm reminded of the story of the young man that went to visit the sage, the monk at the top of the mountain, and wanted to know the greatest secret of life. He walked up and he met the monk and he says, what is the greatest secret of life? And the monk reached out with a big old stick with a big old knob at the end of it and just whacked him over the head. When he came to, took him about a day, but he came back and he said, no, really, I want to know what the greatest secret of life is. And that monk whacked him over the head again with that same stick. Third day, came back to the monk. He says, what is the greatest secret of life? And the monk raised the big stick with a big knob at the end of it and went to hit him, and the man grabbed it and kept it from hitting him in the head. And the monk said, congratulations. You've learned the greatest secret of life, that you can stop the pain. That is what our life is about. It's about we have to do it. We are empowered to do it. That's what we can do, is stand up and stop the pain. And by the way, ladies, for ladies that are listening, if or you have a friend, and they're being abused, and they're being battered, they're being controlled and manipulated, they have no life, to the point that it's very dangerous for them, or you know that it's going on at all, and encourage them to get out and to go to the women's shelter, women's victim center, go somewhere to get out of that so that they can begin to have a life, that they can begin to stand up for themselves. Because in those situations, we'll talk more about that in another program, there needs to be outside help for that. But we have to change our behavior to change their behavior in the way that they've always been treating us. You know, another principle is that when I stand up for who I am, for my principles, I will not be resentful of people who stand up for theirs. You know, that's a big key. A lot of people complain about how people are so aggressive and they're always speaking their mind about things. Well, you know what? You can speak your mind too. That's what we have. That's what we're about. Another one is that it's unavoidable and undesirable to live my life without hurting someone's feelings. And I have people read this aloud in my office at times, and they look at me and say, I've never thought of it being that way. You mean that's selfish? Or that it's unavoidable and undesirable for me to not hurt someone else's feelings? Yeah. You know, because you hurt someone's feelings and they put you out the bottom lip and they kind of get teary about things, does mean you harmed them. Doesn't mean that they're harmed in any way. It's just that they don't like what they're hearing, and that's okay. You don't say what you say because people will like it or dislike it. You say what you say because it's the truth. It's the truth about what you think and how you feel about what you need or want or expect, what you will accept, what you will not accept. And that's a boundary. And you know, when people run into a wall, when they run into a boundary, it hurts. And they can choose to either keep running into that wall or they can begin to respect it. And that's what these boundaries are about.
Next one. By not appropriately expressing myself, I may be allowing things to build up inside which will result in an inappropriate or harmful behavior. That's part of what we were talking about even losing oneself.
Mm-hmm.
So the freedom to be able to understand that there are consequences to not standing up for yourself. You know, going back to the one before where it's, you know, unavoidable and undesirable to live my life without hurting someone. Okay? We have to be able to set those boundaries. Out of those boundaries come responsibilities. It comes a certain boundaries for the relationship. It's just like your skin. No one's going to stick your skin. But we have to be able to express what we have inside and feel inside and to be who we are. Otherwise, we die inside.
And you're talking about stuffing everything. You know, we feel it, we think it, we just don't express it, and we stuff it all down, and that's very, very harmful to each of us. Also, being polite out of fear of being offensive and hiding my discontent with a situation or what another person does. I want you to hear this. It's a sure way of either destroying a relationship or preventing one from really forming. That's what I talked about a moment ago when I talked about affairs. When we don't speak up, we can destroy the very relationship that we're trying to help. And we can prevent one from really forming. We've got to be in the relationship. I have to be here. There has to be two in the relationship.
Not letting others know what I think or how I feel is a form of selfishness. And it's a lack of respect. We're not standing up for ourselves in the presence of who we are, for our own selves. When I don't tell someone what I think, I deny them the opportunity to change. Or to understand.
Absolutely. And that's what our need is to be understood.
And last, and this is important, I put a star by this one. And write this one down. When I stand up for my principles, I will not suffer the regret of what I wish I had said or done. Let me say that again. When I stand up for my principles, I will not suffer the regret of what I wish I had said or done. That is so freeing to be able to be oneself. As we wrap things up, give us a call at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767. 882-6767 or springfieldmfi.com. For yourself or refer a friend. We'll talk to you next week.
It's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.